What's up, people? Another episode of Just for Sports. Jamoke Davis here with you. We're going to talk. Of course, we're going to talk March Madness. It's chalk right now. It's pretty much chalk in the Sweet 16. My 8-year-old son's winning my bracket challenge. Actually, he's helping me win the bracket challenge, but I let him make the picks. He just went pretty much chalk. And I'm like, actually, I'm looking pretty good. Looking better than I thought I would. I'll talk about a little bit more about that. Also, National Basketball Association got about 10 games left. I'm really worried about Golden State. It's really sad and weird. Draymond Green got ejected in the first 4 minutes. Of course, I'm going to talk about that. And more on just in general, my predictions for where I think things will end up, and it's not good. Speaking of not good, Shohei Ohtani and this drama with his translator and the gambling and money was stolen. I have a lot to talk about with that. But also did my fantasy baseball draft, and I'm still, you know what? I'm going to start with that. I decided to stick with this keeper league that I am a part of because I love the guys, the camaraderie, fun throughout the season. It really helps you kind of like enjoy the baseball season. But I'm annoyed with Yahoo Sports because I have no idea why Shohei Ohtani has to count for 2 spots on my roster as a pitcher and a batter. He's one player. I don't think in the actual Major League Baseball roster, Shohei Ohtani doesn't count as 2 people. He's 1 player. So why would Yahoo Sports make him 2 players? And I'm saying this because in my keeper league, unfortunately, you can keep 5 players. And I've got to waste 2 spots on Shohei Ohtani. It's unfair. Now, granted, if he was healthy, be a little less of a bitter pill to swallow. I know he's not the greatest of pitchers, but shoot, pitching for the Dodgers? Oh, no, no, no. I imagine that's probably at least 15 wins for Shohei. I did get Yamamoto anyway. I dig it, Yamamoto. We'll see. I know we didn't have a great spring, but I just took a gamble. The thing for me, I am nervous about this season. And what makes me nervous is the Baltimore Orioles. It was sad to see Peter Angelos pass away. Rest in peace. No matter what you want to say about him. You know, there were some good years, there were some bad years. Now we get new ownership in David Rubenstein and his team that I believe includes Cal Ripken, if I remember that correctly. But the Orioles looked so good during the spring. They looked really, really good. And I'm trying my best to just enjoy it as best I can. I really am. But the thought of them somehow it not translating to them being great in the regular season is really that's the crux of what worries me. That's the crux of it. Is this going to translate for the Orioles to be the best team, not just in the AL East, but in the American League, period? They've lost six games in spring training? And I know you can easily say, oh, well, that's spring training. I get that. But they were 23-6 at the time of this recording. 23-6. They're rolling. And I can't help but say, you're not just peaking too early. You're peaking in spring training. Can we get that peak maybe to start the season? All right, I'm good with that. And then at the end of the season, right? Middle of September, all of a sudden you get hot. You win 7 or 8 games going into the playoffs. That's what I want to see. I'm nervous, but I'm so happy. I'm going to try my best to enjoy it. Enjoy watching the Orioles do their thing. I got a couple Orioles in my fantasy team. I am also excited because I'm going to at least go to 2 games. I know I should go to more, but, you know, kids want to go, and I'm a sucker. How many of y'all with your kids, we go to these sporting events, they're like, Dad, can I get this? Dad, can I get that? And of course, I'm just like, yes, let's get it. My wife is like, what are you doing? You bought another jersey, another hat? I got to stop it. I know. I just can't help it. I just go to these games and the boys want something to remember the game by, and a ticket won't do it. So, of course, I'm like, yup, Dad goes out and buys something else. That happens to me all the time. But I'm excited for the season. I am going to put my customary dollar down for the Orioles to win the World Series. I may do a few parlays, maybe. Maybe. But I'm looking at my roster and I'm just like, I don't know. I got Julio Rodriguez, Randy Arozarena, Trevor Story. As I mentioned, I've got 2 Shohei Ohtanis. Ryan Mountcastle. Of course, I said I got an Oriole. I got Yamamoto. Zach Gallen. My closer is... Oh, shoot. I don't know if it's... Is it Class A? I think that's how you say his name. It's not just Class. At least I didn't think it was just Class. I don't know. I'm not feeling the roster, but I feel like that comes from, I don't know if you're in this same boat with me, but I feel like I just don't know that many players anymore. Players that are the young or current stars of today. I just don't know a lot of them. So I was going based off of, I did my research, checked a few reputable sites on their top 100 players. I looked at sleepers, pitchers, and position players. I did a little bit of all of that. And I got a lot of the ones that they were saying, oh, here's a sleeper late in the draft. I didn't take them early. But I'm hoping it irons out. I'm hoping I end up, obviously, everybody hopes they win. But I'm like, okay, maybe I made some good choices here. Possibly. But I'm excited. I want to see what the Orioles do, if they can win over 100 games again. And this time, last year I felt like with the playoffs, that was their first time in the playoffs. Give them a break. Now this is it. This is where you want to see, all right, you're another year older under your belt. And that is what I'm excited about. And I just hope that it's not against the Dodgers, although the Dodgers are slowly becoming my second team. And I'll tell you why. I love the Nats. I do. And well, let me say third. Dodgers are my third team. Okay. But before the Nats were around, obviously I was just an Orioles fan. But as My first time as a coach, the team was the Dodgers, Pottawatomie League in Chicago. And I was like, I don't really like the Dodgers, but they've always had something in my heart. I don't know why, outside the fact that that was the team name I had. I was the Dodgers. And we wore it proudly. And I don't remember if we made the playoffs or whatever. And there was this one kid that was really good. I wish I could remember his name to see what he became, if he ever became an athlete and something, because I can't even remember his name anymore. But actually, you know what? I just remembered. I think I have a team photo that might have his name on it. But I digress. I'm a big fan of Mookie Betts. Black player. There is nothing cooler than when they show a slow-mo shot of Mookie Betts and he's running around the bases with that gold chain just clanging. It just looks cool. And obviously, Shohei. I'm a big Shohei fan. So I am going to go see the Dodgers a couple times this year, too. And so they've just kind of made it into my heart. Dave Roberts, black manager that I felt like was getting, you know, he was struggling at the beginning. But then when they won their World Series, I don't know, maybe some of that stuff went out the window. But in the end, I'm just excited. I'm excited for the baseball season. Now, what I'm not excited about is what happened with Shohei Ohtani. And I'm not going to get into all of the recapping of what happened. We know his interpreter said he was betting and he had a big gambling debt. Initially, he said, yo, Shohei Ohtani said he was going to hook me up. And then he said, then the story changed to the money was stolen. The whole thing is just suspect to me. It's just suspect to me. Because I think that Major League Baseball and other leagues were probably looking at this like, oh my gosh, our gambling is going to crumble. If Shohei Ohtani was ever suspected of gambling, whether it was on baseball or not, and of course, you know, he was like, I don't gamble, period, and I would never gamble on baseball, blah, blah, blah. Even his former interpreter said, I never gambled on baseball. It would have sent ripple effects through the leagues. Like, we can't do this. We cannot be this closely associated with gambling. And realistically, I think that I'm about to call him Bernie Bickerstaff. I'm drawing a blank, but I know it's the Bickerstaff is the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And he said it's going too far. And it is going too far. When it reaches the best player and the highest paid player, highest profile player in Major League Baseball, gambling has gone too far. But the cat's out of the bag, and that's it. We will just continue to go farther and farther and farther. More players will get in trouble for, if not gambling, being associated with someone. I was talking with an old colleague of mine. We were both kind of in agreement on this. It would have been okay if Shohei was like, yeah, I helped my boy out because he was with me before I was who I am today. And he got himself in a spot. I didn't like it. I'm not happy about it. He's still fired, but yeah, I helped him out. I gave him the money to get out of his gambling debts. I feel like everyone would have understood. They would have been water under the bridge. Now I think there will always be, I don't know. Granted, even if he had done it, there still might have been some suspicion of what happened. And yeah, there is a part of me that thinks that Ipe is a scapegoat for Shohei. But I'm going to believe Shohei. He said, I never gamble. And so that's what it is. But I think that how these leagues and the betting franchise have coalesced, I think there needs to be just a little bit more separation. Because you're going to start questioning players and managers and referees more and more, and league employees, team employees more and more and more. I mean, you're telling me if you're a reporter and you hear, you know, you got a close relationship with a player and he tells you, hey, I'm not feeling good tonight. I don't think I'm going to go. Maybe they said that during shoot around or something like that. And then you put out the story and then all of a sudden, you know, let's say your brother or cousin who you didn't even tell this, but they put some money down, then all of a sudden, are they going to be like, hey, did you tell him about it? To the reporter, obviously. Did you tell him that he wasn't going to play tonight? Now your brother or cousin put some money down. Like, it's just going to get out of control. It already is out of control in some ways. It already is just a little bit out of control. And then back to Shohei Ohtani. I don't think it was a coincidence that he just recently got married. I would not be surprised if there's a, you know, Beatles Yoko Ono situation. She's like, oh, no. You're not giving him that money for his gambling debts. And so they had to come up with some other story. I wouldn't put it past them. Hey, she's controlling the purse strings now. That's not far-fetched in my mind. But I think any reporter, especially investigative reporter with their salt, is not going to let this story die. And thus, Major League Baseball better be on alert every day for another story to come out, because it's not going to end. When you hear the former bookie saying there's no way somebody making the salary of a translator would ever even get a $4.5 million tab run up. And then the actual bookie who was like, oh yeah, I was kind of pretending that Shohei was the client. Come on, man. This whole thing is just not a good situation. I think that Major League Baseball and Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers handled it as best they could, assuming the fact that the Dodgers were like, yo, we were blindsided too. We didn't know. I hope this is the end of it, but it might not be, because any reporter with their worth any salt, I don't even know if I'm getting the expression right, they're going to keep digging. They're going to keep trying to get to the story, the source. So everybody better be on high alert, and not just for this season. The reason why I say that, because people still talk about Michael Jordan and what happened, why he suddenly retired and went to play baseball. And then unfortunately, very sadly, his father was killed on the side of the road. Even then, there were rumors that, oh, did that have anything to do with gambling? So it never dies. Even if it is not true and it's been proven not to be true, it never dies. And I don't think this will either. But I'm happy to have Shohei on my team. Somebody who I would never, ever, ever be happy to have on my team. And it showed tonight as I was recording this. Is Draymond Green. Now, I do have to admit now, he is a Hall of Famer. I know previously I was saying he wasn't. I had a good discussion with another colleague of mine who set me straight. But to see Steph Curry shaking his head on the sidelines after Draymond Green got ejected after 4 minutes, if they are not connected, my bad. I felt, and other people on social media watching the game were like, no, they're connected. He's frustrated. He's sad. He was crying. Maybe he will get to the bottom of the story at some point, the real story, if you will, right? Maybe. But this is sad. To see Steph shaking his head, Draymond Green needs to be done. I personally think that the Warriors should release him. Trade him right now. NBA should suspend him because when he was like, oh, I'm going to go to counseling after choking someone. And then I believe it was last night when he, against Toronto, when he did like that half hook, when they were like, oh, did he try to hook him across the neck? Or, you know, when it's like fake flop, like, oh, I'm not really trying to do anything. That's the part that annoys me the most about Draymond. He loves trying to do like the half flailing arm and like, oh, no, I'm just kind of falling off balance. I'm not really trying to do anything. I don't even know why y'all fall for it. Once again, he duped the NBA and the Warriors again into being like, okay, Draymond's going to be different. No, he isn't. Draymond is going to be Draymond. That's what's going to happen. And don't give me that, oh, I'm blaming the referees. And you know, I got my own issues with referees too. But when you get ejected in the first 4 minutes, nah, you've earned that reputation. This was a career high fourth ejection of the season when this team is barely in the play-in tournament. A game and a half up on the rising Rockets. Ime Udoka's got the Rockets on fire. They won like 9 in a row. They are right on the Warriors' heels. And how sad would it be if the Warriors missed the playoffs? Because you know the NBA. I mean, shoot, they got Steph Curry and all the promos. That's how bad it is. There was a ESPN Stats and Info came out with this stat. Draymond is the only player with multiple first quarter ejections in a season over the last 20 seasons. 20. 20 seasons. It's time to let him go. Time to release him. Somebody we can't let go of or release, although I'd be happy to, is the owner of the Wizards and Caps, and that's Ted Leonsis. He's made a mockery of ownership. There's a reason his name is now, his moniker is Ted Snyder, unfortunately, in some ways. But when you say, I'm moving the team to Virginia, have a large press conference, talk a dog, D.C., 100% adamant, like, no, I'm moving the team. And then the deal falls through, then you and the mayor of D.C. are hugging on the court. Nah, you can't be trusted. That is not an owner who has the fans' best interests at heart. He has green and greed at the top of the list as of what is important to Ted and the ownership group. Now, you could say, well, of course, that's what you're supposed to be thinking of. I'm not going to argue that point as much as I'm just going to say you could have done that in D.C., you did not have to do that. And the thing is, if I am a Caps, Wizards, Mystics fan, Georgetown Hoyas, even though I know he doesn't own them, but he went to Georgetown, whatever fan, whatever team will be playing in that building, you cannot trust that tomorrow he won't say, oh, wait, nah, I'm moving again. There was a report he was trying to meet with Governor Westmore. Come on. You're making a mockery of ownership, of being like what owners should be like. You're destroying the fan base. You're making people not want to root for the team, especially those diehard fans like myself who love and grew up rooting for those teams. You're a bad owner. You don't care about the fans. You care about the bottom line of just making more and more and more money. You'll sell your soul to the devil. And that's just not a good owner. And he's not the first and he won't be the last. But what happened to Ted? What happened to him? It's a shame. And a report came out that there's some addendum that they have to stay in that arena, or is it just in the city until like 2047? Like, come on. A lawyer worth their salt within Monumental should have known that. I don't know. I mean, that's the first person I'd look at. You didn't see this? You didn't know this was in the contract? Abe Poland laughing in his grave. The Poland family just like, yep, see? I wish the Polands were still the owners of this team, of the teams. But again, like we said, won't be the first, isn't the first, won't be the last. Being an owner is difficult. I don't know what it's like. I may never know what it's like. Every day I hope that some of my startups hit. Then all of a sudden I got a little cash. I can at least be a minority owner. Then maybe a majority owner. Hit the lottery. I don't know. I can't claim to know what it's like in his shoes. But I can say I wouldn't see myself moving the home team out of the home city. He just can't be trusted. Just can't be trusted. Speaking of trust, I don't know if I can trust my picks with Sweet 16. It's all chalk. I'm looking pretty good except for Kentucky. I don't know why I was riding that wave of everybody that I was listening to. And it's, again, my own fault. Let me not act like it was somebody else that did it. That we're all talking about how, it, you know, Kentucky was going to be the team. That was just stupid of me. Because the thing is, all throughout the season, I should have went with my gut, right? My gut check picks. And I think I did my gut check picks. And I think I did go with Kentucky. So I guess I did it to myself. Oh, that's just too funny. That's pretty funny. But I don't feel like I would have, if I could do it over again, that I would have not picked Kentucky. I think I probably still would have. And when I look at who is available now, that as I'm recording this, we'll be playing tomorrow. Clemson, Arizona. I'm still going with Arizona. UConn, San Diego State. Still going with UConn. North Carolina, Alabama. I'm going with North Carolina. Illinois, Iowa State, I think I had Illinois. I'm purposely trying not to look at my old bracket right now. I'm just trying to see who I would pick based on what's happened so far. NC State, Marquette. Marquette, man, that was a tough game
a close game, but same for NC State. I think I would stick with Marquette. Purdue, Gonzaga. Gonzaga looks good, but Purdue looks better. I'm sticking with Purdue. Houston, Duke. Duke looks really good. I may stick with the ACC and take Duke over Houston, if nothing else. No, I can't do that because I was going to say because of experience, but they don't have Mike Krzyzewski. John Shire is not Mike Krzyzewski. I think I'll go with Houston. And Tennessee, Creighton. Ooh, I'm going with Creighton. That's who I'm going with. Those are Friday's games. But, I mean, it's going to end up being chalk. And so the funny thing is, I did a couple brackets. Then my son, who's getting into fantasy sports and wanting to do brackets with me, he's like, Dad, can I do your bracket? I said, yes, you can do my bracket. And he basically picked all chalk. And yet, my bracket, I called it Flush the Mouse 2024. You get the reference, you get the reference. You know, as they say in the Washington Post. Oh, is that what it? If you don't get it, you don't get it. That's what they say. And I get it. And maybe you get it. Flush the mouse, that is. But I think his bracket is going to save me. Because, yeah, there were some upsets. But, I mean, NC State is the only one left that wasn't, you know, where the higher seed won, right? Am I wrong? No. Chalk. Yeah, for the most part. It's pretty much chalk. So the bracket he did for me may be the winning bracket. And that'll be funny, and I know it'll make him proud. I've enjoyed... obviously, the close games, I've basically feel like... I don't know how you are with your... You tell me with you tweet at me at Jamal K. Davis how you watch games. I don't watch a full game anymore. I'm jumping around from different NBA games to hockey to SportsCenter, CBS Sports, ACC Network. I'm just jumping around watching a bunch of things. And you just jump around, see if you miss some action until you get to, you know, fourth quarter, into the game, and then you watch. The funny thing is I know that there was all these reports about how, oh, women's college basketball is outperforming men's in ticket sales. I just don't like the comparisons anymore. It's bothering me. Just a little bit. First of all, can we mention those first round games were all in home arenas? So, yeah, I expect if Caitlin Clark gets to play first round games in Iowa, yeah, it's going to sell out. Whereas the men, in some cases, are having to travel, not all the time. I mean, most of them aren't playing in their home gym anyway because they NCAA for the men's tournament are going to bigger arenas. So, yeah, it may be harder to sell out, right? You got to add those things in there because you got to go with the facts, not the hyperbole. The other one that was getting me going into the tournament was everyone was like, oh, Caitlin Clark's the best shooter of all time, men or women. No, that is not the case. Okay. One, you can't compare all eras. Pistol Pete never had a three-point shot, three-point line. So, boom, let's not even go there. Secondarily, as I've mentioned before, the women's ball is smaller. Shoot, when I was playing with the women's ball, man, it was like an ocean. I was going like 15 for 20 in a game. Okay, the ball is smaller, rim is the same size, easier for the ball to go in the hoop. Now, you could say, well, the shot she's taken is as a degree of difficulty that's higher. Okay, I'll give you that. But it's still easier to put the ball in the hoop when it's smaller than the men's ball. That is, again, a fact. Women's three-point line is closer in than the men's. That is a fact. I'm not going to argue or say she's not the greatest of all time for college basketball only as a woman. Let's not do the, oh yeah, best of all time with the men too. No, don't do that. There are facts that change the equation of what the men are shooting and the women are shooting and the distance. They're facts. Remember the facts. That's all I'm saying. Not against women, not against Caitlin Clark. I have watched a couple of her games this year. Watch a couple Angel Reese. Watch some of South Carolina games. By the way, Ice Cube in hot water because he's offering Caitlin Clark millions of dollars to play in the Big Three. What about some of the other really good college basketball players out there? Because there are some other ones. You're not going to offer Juju? Shoot, I would say I know she was hurt the past two seasons. You've been watching Paige Beckers from UConn? Most points ever in their first two NCAA playoff games? Or what? I guess they call it March Madness games. Most points ever in the first two games. All of this talk about, oh, the women's game is more popular than men right now. I know more women than the men. No, you don't. You know Caitlin Clark. You know Angel Reese. Maybe you know Juju and Paige Beckers. Four players. Maybe you know six. Somebody from South Carolina, maybe, and I don't even remember their names. But don't tell me, oh, it's more popular. Come on, give me a break. Just stop. Enjoy both. I'm not saying you can't enjoy both. Don't denigrate one for the other. And I think we're getting a little out of control with that denigration. Just a little bit. I'm going to enjoy both tournaments equally. Not as much as I'll enjoy the NBA, though. Not as much. All right. Whew. Sorry. I went on a little tangent at the end there. I had to go there. But I'm done now. And that's the end of Just for Sport. I'm Jamoke Davis. Ciao for now.